those two situations that Helen just shared with us from the ministry of Jesus, we can be quick, can't we, as we read the story, shake our heads at these Pharisees and say, well, how could they be so heartless? How could they be so cruel? How could they be so short-sighted? And yet, might our attitudes towards others show a similar heartlessness? What about our churchmanship? The way that we do things in our church, our traditions, our attitudes to the rules that govern our church life, or even to the doctrines that we hold dear. Our times have changed. It wasn't so long ago that we would have been very critical of a woman coming to church wearing slacks. We have gone through that stage as well when we found it difficult to cope with the young people and their taste in music when it came to worship. It's interesting, if you go back, so we say 50 years, you would not have had a drum set and all of this stuff here. You would have had the organ. And we would all said, amen for the organ. And when our young people came back from weekends, be it in Keswick or other Christian events, and came back and they said with enthusiasm, we've got this new song. And we groaned inwardly. But we put up with it for them. But gradually times have changed. Good. But there was that sense of criticism within our own hearts as we looked out and we saw the things that they did. We didn't like it and we found fault with it. I have to say that I'm not sure that our coming to terms with so many of the changes that have happened within the last 30, 40 years, within the life of the church, is always due to a sense of enlightenment where our understanding is concerned. I think rather we've slipped in sometimes to a kind of careless attitude. Well, what can we do about it? We've got them here, we'll have to put up with it. And grudgingly, we do put up with it. But that attitude of criticism is still there. And it's a criticism that is brought about really by our own prejudices. Getting back to those Pharisees in our story. Of course, they were not only judging the disciples. You imagine these disciples on a hot day, on that Saturday, their Sabbath, walking through the cornfields, and as their hands just brushed the corn, collecting it in their hands, rubbing it together, blowing off the husks and then eating it. To us, it's such a minor thing, isn't it? We wouldn't bother about anything like that, but they would. They were governed by the law. And they couldn't get out of this mindset that governed them. And so they were critical. But the thing was, they were not only criticizing the disciples. They were, of course, criticizing Jesus himself. What they were saying is, look, You, Jesus, who claim to have this special relationship with God, you who perform miracles and seem to be telling us what's right and wrong, if you really were a man of God, you would condemn these men for what they're doing. And because you're not condemning them, you're in league with them. And therefore, what kind of a man of God are you? See, the judgment that they were, this was their thinking, this was their mindset. And then that second situation, there in the synagogue, a man who had a shriveled hand. And what were the Pharisees doing about it? They weren't doing anything. But they were nevertheless using this man and his deformity, if you like, to see what Jesus would do, and again to be able to condemn Jesus. How heartless is that? That's what happened. Of course, we find it hard to understand their attitudes and this estrangement that they seem to have from God, but that's what they had. But again, we can fall into a similar state with our thinking and our attitudes, with our concern for ritual and outward show, with obeying the rules at the exclusion of mercy. This was the mistake that the Pharisees made. But Jesus puts the whole emphasis on showing mercy. And so he quotes from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, "I desire mercy, not sacrifices." We need to sometimes, when we read these stories, to allow them to challenge us and our attitudes. We might not want to use someone's disability to make a judgment, but there are other things we do and attitudes that we express. How are we to change? How are we to have a different attitude that has this desire for mercy? Because if we're honest, to be critical seems almost natural to us. We don't have to be taught to be critical. It seems to be there within us. It's there within me, different situations. Sometimes that criticism comes out before I've really engaged my mind in what's going on. Second nature. How can I have this mercy? The answer, I suggest, is found in the statement that Jesus makes regarding himself. They're strange statements when you look at it. One greater than the temple is here. And the second one, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Besides referring to the greatness of Jesus, I believe that the emphasis is us knowing Jesus personally. What Jesus is saying, that through him alone can true worship be made to the Father, which doesn't consist of rules and regulations, but is expressed in not being critical, but in being loving. Jesus in John 4 and verses 23 to 24 says, "A time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." We can only express that when we have a relationship with Jesus. We need to see our Sunday worship as a time, yes, when we come together as a family of believers, but when we come focusing our attention on Jesus. We do not come to church to do what we like. Doesn't matter what age we are. We come to glorify Jesus. We need to see that that is the emphasis that we should have. Jesus is Lord, we sing. Do we express it? Do we express it when we are merciful and loving to one another? The call to follow Jesus is not a call to live by a written code. Jesus says, "Come unto me." So simple. It's an invitation to us all to come to him and to receive from him. To trust him, to live by him. It doesn't say come and obey all these rules and these regulations. Do you agree with his doctrine? Tick it off. No. He just says, come to me. Trust me. The call to follow Jesus, as I said, is not a call to live by a written code, but to enter into a living relationship with Jesus, which is revealed then in our attitudes to one another. It's a relationship expressed in love and mercy and not being hypocritical. And should the Holy Spirit reveal something to us about another member of the church, someone sitting next to us, maybe on the seat, nearly said pew, but we don't have pews now, we have seats. Our times have changed. But should the Holy Spirit reveal something to us? Why has the Holy Spirit revealed that to us? So that we can move away from that person, or sit on the other seat. Or we can go to them afterwards and say, "Listen, God has told me this about you." The Holy Spirit has revealed it for one purpose and one purpose only, that we might pray for that person. Not that we might criticize them, as much as we might like to. We might not agree with their lifestyle or whatever. That's a different matter. We are called to do one thing, to pray for them, to show them love, to show them mercy. When Jesus says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, Matthew admits a statement found in Mark 2 and verse 27, where Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Our Sunday, our Sabbath, is meant to be a means of blessing. It's meant to be a means of praise in which we give glory to God, but in the same time as doing that, God is here to bless us. This time together is meant to make us spiritually healthy and joyful, providing us with the means and ability to express our love for God and for one another. It's meant to liberate us and not to enslave us. Maybe one of the things we need to do before we judge others is to examine ourselves and to ask ourselves, what's the spirit that is governing my attitude? Let's remind ourselves of what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7 and verse 6. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we might serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. And again, in Romans 8 and verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is a call for us to be merciful, to learn from what we read in these pages of the gospel and this attitude of the Pharisees. This call of mercy, I believe, is summed up in the words of Jesus, to be found later in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 18, where Jesus says, love your neighbour as yourself. So friends, let's through faith in Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit that transforms us and enables us to express our worship, that love for one another and for the Lord that declares that we indeed are the people of God. It's not our rules, it's not our custom, but it's letting the love of God minister to us and for us to minister to one another, to build up the church of Christ. This should be, friends, I don't know whether it is, I hope it is, I feel a sense of this, though you're a small company in the evening, but I have a feeling that I'm sure that when people, strangers, come off the street into this building on a Sunday, they sense something of the love of God. And that isn't just some ethereal thing. It's something, it's the vibes that you are giving off. And those vibes that you give off of love and mercy not only draw them in, but enables the Spirit of God to minister to them and bring them into that loving relationship with Jesus. So may we be his people and serve him faithfully. Amen.